Warning, this episode contains brain food that will lead to improved emotional and social intelligence. Thanks for tuning in to Harvesting Happiness today for a healthy serving of consciously prepared brain food. This is Lisa Cypress-Kamen, your host. For more than 13 years, I've been handcrafting these sound ideas for better well-being. Each week, I love spotlighting diverse thinkers and doers who are contemporary trendsetters and change agents, devoting their lives to creating a better world in which to live. I invite you to listen up and change the way you think about human happiness. Our award-winning content is fresh, optimistic, and purpose-driven media that promotes well-being from the inside out. Alrighty then, let's dive in. This episode offers psychosocial education designed to inspire and motivate our listeners. The information provided does not constitute a therapeutic relationship nor a substitute for professional mental health care. If you are experiencing a mental health crisis, call 911, go to your nearest emergency room, or for listeners in the United States, text 988 for the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are. Thanks for joining me on today's show, where you will learn how to tune in as we explore sound therapy for ear and brain vitality. My guest today is Raphael Joudry. She is the co-developer of a home-based sound therapy system which enhances ear and brain performance. She has authored 3 best-selling books and has been researching and developing the program for more than 3 decades. Raphael has trained hundreds of practitioners, and the method has helped thousands of listeners to enhance their lives. Welcome, Raphael. Thanks for joining me on the show today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Lisa.
Oh, it's a pleasure. For me, music is happiness. So let's talk a little bit about why music makes us happy.
Yes. Well, that is a fascinating topic because, I mean, we all sense that music makes us happy. If it's happy music, it changes the mood immediately and it might bring up memories and, you know, it enlivens the self. But there's more to it than that, because when we hear music, it's actually activating our ears and the pathways to our brain and our nervous system. So it is physiologically changing our state. And this is an amazing discovery that was made by the ear specialist, Dr. Tomatis, who found that when you activate the ear, particularly with high frequency sounds, you're recharging the brain. You're actually increasing the energy in the brain. So it's not just the mood, the meaning, the words, the rhythm, etc. There's more to it. It's switching on the nervous system to a positive state.
Talk a bit about Dr. Tomatis's work, because it's my understanding he was a pioneer in this field.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when we say sound therapy, you know, there are many types of sound therapy, but Dr. Tomatis developed a particular method, a clinically based method, which physically works on the ear. Dr. Tomatis was an ear, nose and throat specialist in France, and he had a fascination with sound. First of all, it started because he really wanted to heal people. He was a genuine pioneer and scientist. He was looking for solutions, and this was inspired by some childhood illnesses that he had and a wonderful doctor who said, we must find the solution. And so Tomatis started out looking for solutions for singers who had lost their voices. And his father was a singer, and so was sending his colleagues to Tomatis and saying, can you help this man? Now, the treatment at the time for voice loss was strychnine, would you believe?
Wow.
It was a rather extreme treatment. And Tomatis, because he was an ear specialist, he thought about it and he thought, well, maybe it's the ear. And he explored singers and their ears and their hearing. And it was just through experimentation and tinkering in his clinic with different equipment that he discovered that when he could restore function to their ears, the same function was restored to their voice.
Wow.
He went on to explore the worlds of autism and dyslexia and hearing and emotion. And he developed this program that actually rehabilitates the ear with alternating frequencies. and found that when we wake up the ear, we're waking up the brain and we're enhancing processing of sound. So he devoted his life to these discoveries. A whole worldwide profession has been developed based on the work of Dr. Tomatis. And it really is a breakthrough in sound because it's different to any other form of sound therapy, which may be just playing nice sound to alter the mood. The Tomatis method actually improves ear performance physiologically and neurologically and restores normal function to the entire nervous system.
Let's talk a little bit about this in the context of what I'm hearing you say is that the improvement or restoration of good hearing is doing more than just helping us to listen better. And I don't mean listen better in the communication sense, in terms of processing, that it's got a full body effect.
Yes, that's right. And sometimes people think, oh, sound therapy, that's for the ears.
Yeah.
And it is. But the thing is, the ear is the gateway to the brain. What we're doing with sound therapy is enhancing the performance of the brain, the function of the brain, and that means the function of our emotions and our well-being as well. So how do we reach the brain? Well, you know, you can reach the brain with chemicals, or you can change your thinking, or you can exercise, and that stimulates the brain as well as the body. But sound is a very direct way of reaching the brain because the ear is right inside, you know, almost inside the brain cavity. It's sitting there right next to it. And when you look at the relationship in the nervous system, the cranial nerves, there are 12 cranial nerves that directly link the brain to our sensory systems. And of those 12 nerves, 10 of them are linked to the ear.
Wow.
So the ear is intimately, integrally built into our brain functions. When we listen to music, it activates 10 different centers in the brain. And, you know, there are so many aspects of music. There's rhythm, there's harmony, there's melody. So it is just an amazing process in sound therapy. We're working on the ear-brain relationship and we're using the ear as the tool to access and restore function to the brain. We now know that there is brain plasticity and we can enhance that brain plasticity and build new connections through stimulation, through sensory stimulation. And sound is perhaps the most effective way of doing that through the senses.
A couple of questions come to mind. The first is using sound therapy to activate both sides of the brain. So when both sides of the brain are firing, we end up performing better or producing better, right? Because we're using the more linear intellectual sides of the brain and the more creative and intuitive sides of the brain. And together, it's my guess, my experience, that when that happens, at least to me, I feel like I'm performing more optimally.
Absolutely. And, you know, some people are more oriented towards one side or the other. People who are very linguistic might be more oriented to the left brain, which is linear, whereas people who are working more with systems, music systems, mathematical systems, visual systems will be more right brain oriented, which is more to do with relational and structural processes. And if people have a deficit in one area, they will struggle. They might not be able to read maps, or they might struggle with mechanical things, or they might struggle with language. Now, sound therapy is very much focused on language and left brain. This is Tomatis' sound therapy. Hmm. And so how we do that is there is an emphasis on the right ear because the Tomatis found the right ear should lead. So we train the right ear to lead. And some people are uncomfortable with this. They think we should be symmetrical. Well, we're not symmetrical. Okay, the heart is on the left. The body is asymmetrical and the ears are asymmetrical. The right ear needs to lead in order for us to process language effectively. And so we play more sound and you get more high frequencies in sound therapy to the right ear, which goes directly to the left brain. There's a crossover. When we activate the left brain by having the right ear lead, our language processes improve. And so sound therapy addresses auditory processing problems, language processing. Some people say, oh, I just can't express myself in words. I know what I want to say, but I can't find the words. Sound therapy fixes that. And people who stutter, a dramatic improvement with stuttering by training us to be right ear dominant. However, it also fixes right brain functions. It enhances musicality. And I remember one man who said, oh, my wife stopped clashing the gears on her car when she used sound therapy. And people have said it improves their golf swing. It enhances coordination. and they play better tennis. So clearly it's working on the whole brain. It's enhancing the whole brain. But because it's an auditory process, if we get the right ear leading, everything falls into line and we can be organized. We actually have two brains, the right brain and the left brain, and they are connected by this huge mass of neural connections down the center called the corpus callosum. But the two brains can function somewhat independently. But the more interrelations we have between the two sides of the brain, the better we function. And sound therapy definitely builds those connections, builds the connection between the right brain and the left brain so that all of our functions work better. So it really is a remarkable system for enhancing our whole brain performance.
So what I think I'm hearing you say is that one of the benefits is enhanced executive functioning. That, in other words, it's like a tune-up for the control panel or the dashboard of the brain.
Absolutely, it is. And there was research done in China on sound therapy for executive functioning, and definitely it was found to be improved. It also improves memory retention, a number of different brain functions. These studies were done with stroke patients, so it has helped with stroke recovery, and that's a good way to really see what it's doing. It doesn't mean it's only for stroke patients. I mean, I use it myself, and I say anyone with a brain can benefit from sound therapy. But yes, people say, well, I'm more focused. You know, I can concentrate, I can find the words. So definitely it helps executive functioning, memory recall, focus, concentration, but also creativity. So it's helping so many aspects of brain performance.
And what I also hear you saying is there's a difference between just playing the music, for example, playing classical music or jazz or mood enhancing music, the difference between playing it and then having the sound fed into your ears very, very closely.
Well, yes, we do use headphones with sound therapy, but there's more to it than that. Tomata Sound Therapy uses a filtering system, which Dr. Tomatis developed, and he developed a device called the electronic ear. And so what he did was he put the music through this filtering device, and that changes the frequencies. So it alternates between an emphasis on the high frequencies and an emphasis on the low frequencies. Now, people start to wonder, well, what's the music going to sound like? It still sounds good to listen to. We use classical music for sound therapy, and you can hear that there are alterations. And sometimes it's like it's all the high sounds, it's up on the ceiling, and then other times you're hearing the deep sounds, and it's alternating. Now, the reason for that is to exercise and enliven the muscles in the middle ear. So as an ear doctor, Tomatis approached this looking at, well, how can we enhance ear performance? And so we do that with sound therapy. We exercise the muscles in the middle ear. And in doing that, it opens the ear and it allows those beneficial high frequencies to get in and to enter the brain. So although we start by working on the ear, the end goal is the brain, but it's enhancing the ear function along the way. So it's very different to just a normal recording of classical music. The sound therapy recordings are specially made and they are listened to through headphones, as you mentioned. And all of these benefits follow through when people follow a course of sound therapy listening.
So let's talk a little bit about other conditions that sound therapy can address. Let's say somebody has had a traumatic brain injury, or they have been through a traumatic event. What are some of the ways that the sound therapy can passively help activate the healing process, you know, our body's natural healing process?
Well, we have seen remarkable recovery with traumatic brain injury, and organizations addressing those problems have used the therapy, and people working in rehab and special needs and all of those areas, because it is remarkably effective for people who've had an injury. And we often will see recovery after stroke, after brain injury. Language facility will come back. Movement will come back. Coordination will come back. And it's just, you know, it's just activating the brain. Dr. Norman Doidge, in his best-selling book, explored many different methods of brain restoration and retraining through the sensory pathways. And this can be done through the physical pathways and the visual pathways as well. But sound therapy is just so dramatic in the effects that it has, because we reach the brain so directly. But when there's been an injury, what we're trying to do is we're trying to rebuild connections, because there's been damage there's been loss of connections. But the brain is so versatile. It works as a whole brain. And it's been proven now by Michael Merzenich in his research on brain plasticity that a new part of the brain can take on a function if an old part of the brain is damaged. He actually proved brain plasticity with his research on monkeys, where, I'm sorry, it's an upsetting thing to hear, but some of the fingers were severed and the function of those fingers was taken over by another part of the brain. The brain rebuilt itself, and so it used that brain territory for a different function. And that was what finally proved brain plasticity. There was a debate for decades. Did it really exist? Now we know that it exists and that the brain can be rebuilt to perform different functions after injury.
What I find fascinating is the application of the sound therapy, and this is a very different kind of sound therapy, for example, than others might have already been aware of, where you would hear about sound bathing or going to a sound bath where there are crystal bowls and different instruments are played, which are all very lovely and relaxing and do have an effect on the nervous system. What you're talking about is something that is actually rebuilding, like you say, brain function, and it's passive. Right, you're putting on the headphones and the music is doing the work, which I can see for some people would be very, very appealing, right? Less talk and more being, you know?
That's right. And it's fundamental, you know, we need to fix the responses of the nervous system first, and then counseling or study or other things can happen. But if there's a problem in the fundamental functioning of the brain, we need to fix that first. And yes, sound therapy listening is passive. You simply put the headphones on and carry on with your day. And you can do other things with it on. In the book my mother and I wrote initially, she said anything except tennis or sex you can do when you're listening to sound therapy. So, but I say,
like, your
people,
mom.
anything except having a shower. So, you know, you can have a conversation with it on. The volume is low. You can watch TV with it on. So you can just carry on with your day. And, I mean, there are different ways of delivering sound therapy. It can be in a clinic or there are portable systems. But with a portable system, you really can just do whatever you were doing. So it takes no time to do the therapy. That's time.
So the work is happening while you're working, kind of thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't realize. That is amazing. So let's talk a little bit. We're going to take a break in a minute, but I wanted to get a little bit about your background and your mom's background, because this goes back a long ways.
It does. It does. Goodness, it's been a whole life work for me, Lisa. It started when I was 20. I was in Paris working as an au pair, and I had a chance meeting with someone who was training in sound therapy with Dr. Tomatis. And the doctor I met was from Canada, where my mother lived, and he was going back there to open the first sound therapy clinic in Canada. And I was curious. I said, "What's sound therapy?" as people do, and he described it to me. It made no sense, but I thought, I wonder if it would help my mother, because my mother had some peculiar problems where she couldn't follow a conversation in a noisy room and she couldn't tolerate loud sound. I say peculiar. Now I know they're very common. 20% of people have those problems. But we thought our mother was unique. So anyway, this Canadian doctor said to me, "Oh, sound therapy would fix those problems." So I wrote to my mother and said, "Hey, this man's coming to open up a clinic in Canada and he can fix your problems." So she went and enrolled for the sound therapy program. My mother was one who always wanted to improve her hands, her health, and enhance her well-being and performance, and so she would try anything. So she went and had the course of treatment, which went for 3 months, and it was incredible. She was like a new person. My mother had been an insomniac for decades. That was fixed by the sound therapy. And she used to suffer regularly from writer's block. She was a writer. That went away. No more writer's block. And she had terrible fatigue. She would get so tired. With the sound therapy, she never got tired anymore. So it just revitalized her brain. Oh, it fixed her hearing problems as well, by the way. But the so-called side effects were so much more important to her than the fix. And so this was the beginning of our journey into sound therapy. My mother went into it more later, and we put out a portable system ourselves because it transformed her life. And then the benefits we've seen on other people since have just been extraordinary, particularly helping with tinnitus, which is pretty much untreatable, considered an untreatable condition.
Ringing in the ears. Yes, for those who don't know, right? It's a very disruptive ringing in the ears. Yes. Let's take that pause to learn more about the work of my guest, Rafael Jowdery. Please go to mysoundtherapy.com. We will be back in a moment and continue the conversation. Each day, we have the intellectual freedom to be happy or the liberty to be miserable, regardless of external circumstance. If you or someone you know is struggling with mental health, seek support because good psychological health is vital in the achievement of a happy and satisfying life. Visit harvestinghappiness.com for psychosocial educational resources to boost emotional and social intelligence. Like what you hear on Harvesting Happiness, sharing is caring. Pay it forward by spreading the word to your community and through social media. Subscribe, listen, and share hundreds of downloadable episodes from wherever you get your podcasts. Connect with and follow us on most social media channels. And we're back, continuing the conversation with my guest today, Rafael Jowdery. We're talking about tuning in, sound therapy for ear and brain vitality. Let's get back to the conversation. So Rafael, prior to the break, we were talking about some of the applications of sound therapy, the use of the headset, classical music set at a low volume level, and the ability for it to be kind of a seamless, transparent, passive modality for healing and reconnection of the brain and the nervous system. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other things that sound therapy can help with.
Yes, well, there are several different streams where it's used, Lisa. One of them is the hearing stream. So tinnitus, dizziness, blocked ear, sound sensitivity. Then there's the general well-being stream, energy, stress, creativity, mood, general well-being. And then there's the learning stream to do with brain function, focus, memory, study. So there is so much. And people are a bit gobsmacked by this, but, you know, we're working on the brain. So all of those things are functions of the brain. And when you enhance brain function, wherever that person needs to improve their performance, that will be uplifted. So we can go down any of those.
Well, I would love to go down the depression the route, because you mentioned during the break that sound therapy can be very helpful for mood regulation.
Yes, absolutely. And this is something that has just come to us along the way with treating people and seeing people's results, that people report, I just feel happier. I feel happier than I've felt in years. And one of the reasons for this, well, there's different ways of explaining it. Dr. Tomata's explained it in terms of recharging the brain with high-frequency sound and releasing latent energy. And certainly it does that. People need less sleep, unless they, you know, some people need more sleep and they get more sleep, they get deeper sleep. But other people find because they're getting deeper sleep, they don't need as much. They're just more energized. But we've had people with depression and anxiety who have found sound therapy has actually given them a recovery. So for some people, it may be an alternative to medication. For others, it may be in combination, because often treating in combination is more effective. But for people who are just mildly anxious or a little bit down, often it just makes the difference. And one of the reasons it does that is because of the way it works on the vagal nerve. Now, there's a huge amount of interest in the vagal nerve, and people are talking about it in all walks of life. It is one of the cranial nerves. I mentioned the cranial nerves before. The vagus is the 10th cranial nerve, named after the vagabond or wanderer, hence the name vagus, because it wanders all the way through the body. It doesn't stay up and around the head the way the other cranial nerves do. The vagus nerve goes right through the thoracic and abdominal cavities. And there are two significant branches in the vagus nerve. One is the fight or flight branch, which we're all familiar with. It causes breathing to accelerate and the heart to race, and we're in a panic reaction. And unfortunately, so many people in today's world are in a mild state of fight or flight arousal all the time, because it's not just a lion was chasing us and now it's not. It's the mortgage stress, the kids, the
news.
Stress, the news, everything. We're stressed. And so we've got this mild arousal all the time. But I want to talk about the other branch of the vagal nerve, which is the social engagement branch. Now, this was discovered and written about in detail by Dr. Stephen Porges in recent decades. He has discovered and published and researched polyvagal theory, showing that there are different aspects of the vagal system. And the social engagement branch, that's the ventral vagus, so more in the front of the body, it is the calming nerve. When that is aroused, we are calm, we are connected, we can have eye contact and feel safe with others. It's that sense of connection. And it's a function purely of mammals. Reptiles do not have that branch. You cannot have empathy with a reptile. I say to people, if you have a pet snake, you may think your snake loves you, but it doesn't. Sorry. But dogs and cats can. They are mammals. And people do. And when that nerve is aroused, we're in a positive state of trust and connection. And what Stephen Porges discovered is that when you activate the middle ear muscles, as we do with sound therapy, it switches on the ventral vagus, the social engagement branch. And so it switches our nervous system into a happy, calm state. It's that activation of the middle ear muscles. And that's why this particular form of sound therapy by Dr. Tomatis, which focuses in on those muscles, that's why it has this effect of just switching us in to a positive emotional state. And the more people listen, the better they feel. But I've seen it with clients where they might be very, very anxious and they're ringing up regularly and saying, oh, I'm still very stressed. I'm still very nervous. I don't think it's working. And then one day they ring and say, oh, I feel so calm. It's wild. I just feel wonderful. So
how long is a treatment? I mean, I know you said that you could put it on and have it sort of low level all day, but if somebody is wanting to actively pursue healing or a therapeutic shift, what is the commitment?
Well, it depends on which method. Tomatis method is available in various ways. In the clinic treatments, it's about 6 weeks to 3 months. And people go into the clinic. And that was how my mother had it back then. Now, there are various offshoots of the Tomatis method now. And so some are portable and home-based, which allows for longer-term treatment. And so there are people who choose to use it for many years. And I use it myself. And it can be beneficial. But it doesn't take any time and it's enjoyable and you can build it into your life. So most people will experience certainly results in 3 months, maybe 6 months. But there are other benefits in the longer term. We've had people who've used it for a number of months or a couple of years and it's helped to remedy many of their problems. Then they might come back years later and say, well, you know, I've got older, some of the problems came back, I want to resume the listening. And there are some who can continue on, you know, fairly continuously for years and years. So it's a wonderful thing. I don't want to scare people by saying, you know, you might need to do it for a long time. But people really do get results quickly and they keep going because they like the results. It's like exercise, you know. We're old enough, Lisa, to know we have to go for a walk every day.
Every day.
Stimulating the ears and brain is good too. Every day it helps keep the brain in good shape.
And are you suggesting that people have this on for hours a day, or do they go and have a session if they're doing a home-based system for half an hour, an hour? What, like, I want to give people a snapshot of what that looks like.
Yeah. We recommend about 3 hours a day initially, and there's a program to follow progressively increasing the level of the filtering. It's pretty easy to follow. And, you know, they do a similar thing in clinic settings as well. So it's about 3 hours. But if you've got a portable system, of course, it doesn't take 3 hours to do it. Yes. It's just like wearing your glasses. You put it on and you do your day.
Yeah. And it's drug-free. I mean, for people who have had treatment resistance to, for example, depression medications, it is an alternative to explore. You know, you're getting potentially the relief without the chemicals. So I can see that definitely being an upside. There is some rigor required to this, some discipline to put it on and actually wear it for the duration that you're suggesting, but it sounds like the reward is there for people.
Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be 3 hours all in one go. It can be a bit here, a bit there. It's flexible, but you do have to put it on and you do have to press play. That's what you
have to do. I think we can all do that. It's like, if you ever want to win the lottery, you have to do one thing, right?
Buy the ticket. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
That's it. You know? So I get that part. I definitely get that part. Let's go back to tinnitus or tinnitus, depending upon what part of the world that you come from.
Yeah,
because I, I have a friend and my mother also has tinnitus. Mm. And it's been very hard for both of them to navigate.
Yeah. We all know people who have tinnitus, but we may not know that they have it because they have given up mentioning it. And what happens with most people is they go to their doctor and say, I've got this ringing in my ears. And the doctor says there's nothing that can be done. Or often they will go through an ENT, an audiologist, have an MRI, and then they're told after spending several hundred dollars, there's nothing that can be done for tinnitus because there is no drug for tinnitus. They've tried some drugs for tinnitus. There's nothing that's really worked. There is no surgery for tinnitus. Even if you sever the auditory nerve, in some cases, tinnitus will continue because it's happening in the brain. Now, it starts with a problem in the ear, usually, or it can be stress-related. It can be head injury, chemical toxins, too much noise, jaw tension. There's many different causes of tinnitus. Wow. And it's often related to damage to the ear. But once it's on and it's continuing, it's happening in the brain, just like chronic pain. You know, the injury to the foot might be finished, but you're still feeling this pain, and it's the brain that's telling you there's a problem, there's pain. Now, we have found that sound therapy relieves these problems, not only tinnitus but chronic pain as well. We've had people recover from chronic pain with sound therapy because it remaps the brain. And it helps the brain to do what it should be doing instead of latching on to this one thing. So with tinnitus, it may be, for example, there's been damage, there's been noise damage at a particular frequency. And so the brain might be making that particular frequency round and round and round. But when we stimulate the auditory system in such a holistic way with sound therapy, activating all of those pathways and all of those different brain centers that relate to sound, we can build a new map. And for most people, the tinnitus will significantly reduce or stop completely. We can't know that it will always happen, but we've seen chronic, severe cases, people who've had it for decades, sometimes very loud, where it has completely gone. So there is hope, and it will help. You know, a tinnitus sufferer, they may say, well, I don't want to try it unless I know for sure that it's going to work. We can't know that with tinnitus.
There are no absolutes.
But it's still going to help you. It's still good for your brain. There are still other benefits.
Yes,
really
the upside, outweighs, and there is no risk. That's the other part. This is a risk-free, passive process. We are out of time, and I am so fascinated by this, and really you opening our ears to a new form of healing and treatment. To learn more about the work of Raphael Joudry, please go to mysoundtherapy.com. And if you also put /podcast at the end of that, mysoundtherapy.com/podcast, you will have access to an ebook that explains everything about the history and the process, as well as a special offer. Thank you so much, Raphael.
Thank you, Lisa. It's been wonderful.
Thanks for joining us today on Harvesting Happiness. This is Lisa Cypress-Kamen on behalf of my guest, Raphael Joudry, wishing you kind thoughts, kinder words, and the kindest of actions. Until next time, remember, happiness is an inside job. Happiness is your inside job. Please go out and rock your day, and remember to be kind to one another. Want to take a deeper dive into sound ideas for better well-being? Check out our new bonus edition content, More Mental Fitness by Harvesting Happiness, available exclusively on Medium and Substack. Keep harvesting your own happiness anytime, anywhere, from the comfort of wherever you are. Subscribe, listen, and share hundreds of downloadable episodes from wherever you get your podcasts. Connect with and follow us on most social media channels. To learn more about lifestyle management and mental fitness consulting services, please visit harvestinghappiness.com. Harvesting Happiness and More Mental Fitness are produced by me, Lisa Cypress-Kamen, Andrea Mengele, Robin Boyd, Andrea Daly, and the awesome team at Podfly Productions, including Eric Begay, Kimberly Beck, and Alec Guess, in collaboration with TogiNet Radio, KBUU, RadioMalibu.net, and is available on PRX, the Public Radio Exchange.